This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, my name is Jeroen Leenaerts, and welcome to the 36th episode of my podcast. I've been developing software for over 18 years, iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch CocoaHeads for over 7 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about new formatters in iOS 15. Why do we need another formatter? How Swift runs an async executable, requiring minimal code coverage in Swift packages with GitHub Actions. Structured concurrency in Swift using async let. Patch delete and delete everything in core data. Currently I'm working hard on preparing something special. I'm going to release this in about 2 weeks from now. And the idea here is that it is something that I want to do just because I want to take some time for myself and be able to provide you with some interesting content while I'm not here. And just to let you know a little bit on what I'm thinking about doing, I'm considering telling you more about my recording process, or maybe tell you a bit more about content creators online that I really like and I think you should have a look at. So stay tuned, and I look forward to what you think of what I'm going to release in the coming weeks. Another big thing that I did myself this week was release an update of my lead developer book. You can find the link in the show notes. And this is the first meaningful addition that I wrote to my book. I think I added about 10% in content. And I do have some more ideas for the next update, which I am actually working on. But it's slow going because I just want to make sure that I have everything right and that I have good content to publish. Just to keep things going, because I'm on a tight schedule this evening, the first article of this week is new formatters in iOS 15. Why do we need another formatter? Sardoon details a new formatter API that has become available in iOS 15. Apple now provides new formatters across the board, for numbers, for dates, for times, and much more. In this article, he digs into this new API to tell you what the old API is, how the new API works, how they compare, and why you should be looking into this new formatter API. Biggest takeaway from this article is that the new formatter API doesn't replace the old one. You still need to use the old formats to do some conversions. So it seems that the new formatter API is mostly something that reduces complexity and allows you to easier get a string on screen. So the best part is that it's a simple interface and that you can still format it like you used to. But it's a lot better since there is actually a compile time checking involved. It looks like this is one of those APIs that we didn't know that we needed once it was released. Ole Begeman has an article on how Swift runs async executables. He provides you with a small example of a main-based function that does a little bit of sleeping asynchronously. And he digs into how this async executable is actually executed on a system. The most interesting part is that you discover that something called a detached task is created as the execution context for the main method. It's this hidden task that becomes the parent task of all other structured child tasks in your code. Thomas Vader has an interesting article on requiring minimal code coverage in Swift packages with GitHub Actions. Thomas has written about GitHub Actions before. He's going to revisit a problem that he solved in a previous article, but this time he's only going to be using tools from Xcode itself, being Xcode Build and XCCuff. The downside of a previous approach that he took with Fastlane is that it requires you to generate an Xcode project, which is a deprecated feature in Xcode 12.5. And also, it used XCuff for forcing code coverage, which does not seem to be maintained anymore. Therefore, he's going to try to create a Swift package, compile it with GitHub Actions, and generate an XE result bundle with code coverage information. Based on this XE result bundle, you can actually extract line coverage and force a minimum code coverage level that you want to achieve on your unit tests. And of course, This is all scriptable and executable on a GitHub Action runtime. And in his article, Thomas details and explains how you can actually do this yourself. So if you are still looking into some improvements to your continuous integration pipeline and you're using something similar to GitHub Actions, definitely have a look at this, because I think the ideas that Thomas explains are transferable to pretty much any CI environment that you can use for building your Xcode-based applications. So the next article is by Andy Ibanez. It's called Structured Concurrency in Swift Using Async Let. It's part of a series of articles by Andy, and you should definitely have a look at this article series by Andy. And you should definitely have a look at this article series by Andy, because you need to have read the previous articles in this series to actually be able to understand this article. In his previous articles, he has discussed how callback-based code can be messy to manage when you're using concurrent context. For that reason, Apple has released Async Await, which is a set of keywords that can help you write concurrent code while keeping a linear flow in your code. This means that the code can be read from top to bottom. Of course, things are happening asynchronously. And the idea that Andy is putting forward in his article is actually a concept called structured concurrency. And the idea behind structured concurrency is actually based on the same ideas as structured programming. You write structured code for the vast majority of the time, so you don't really think about it. And structured code can be read from top to bottom, following a linear flow in a way that outputs are predictable and code is executed in the exact given order. When using variables, they, for example, have a well-defined lifetime within the blocks that they are declared in. Unlike callback-based concurrency, in which you fire your task in different threads or contexts as the main thread keeps executing, which has the potential to alter the output of your program every time it's run. If you are writing Objective-C, you need to treat your variables as __ blocks in order to modify them within a block. This creates a bit of a labyrinth of code where everything can happen in any order in order to give the result that you want. This all sounds very messy, and with the concept of structured concurrency, you can actually untangle a lot of this complexity and make sure that you can actually read through your code in a linear fashion again, even though the things are happening asynchronously. So it's a more in-depth article on asynchronous programming with the new APIs made available by Apple, but it's definitely something that will help you deepen your understanding of the async await language structure that is now available in Swift. Robert Pieta is writing a nice article on using core data. Basically, he has dealt with the problem that you have a core data store and that you pretty much want to delete everything. He explains six different ways of deleting multiple entities in core data with Swift, ranging from deleting a few objects, deleting objects with relationships with a cascade delete rule, deleting relationship objects, and deleting objects with a predicate, batch deleting, and deleting everything. Especially the delete everything option is interesting, because this is actually the destruction of your entire persistent store and then recreating the persistent store from scratch. In a lot of cases, this is actually a very helpful way of dealing with core data. If you have a lot of complexity in your model and you want to just do a full reset, this is the best way to do it. And those are this week's articles. Of course, Donny has done his Monday morning tweet as well. In response to Donny's Monday morning tweet, Stuart indicates that he's working on three videos to update the login to Firebase series on his YouTube channel. And it seems Tommy is very eager to find out what Stuart has to tell on this specific topic. Tommy is actually starting his new iOS developer job tomorrow, so he is super nervous, scared, and mostly excited. And Tommy, I think you'll do great. Just keep calm and carry on, dude. Philip is actually working on his SwitchBuddy app to actually make an iPad version of it. And he has also planned some work on his new project called ImpressKit.net. Patrick is working on the foundations of his new school app. It was surprisingly easy in Swift UI. He only started working on it 3 or 4 days ago. Christian keeps working on his Ether radio app. So he has version 1.2.0 for iOS in review, and versions for macOS and tvOS are pending developer release. So he's planning on releasing everything at the same time this week. Powell is in between releases at the moment, so he can take it a little bit slower this week, but he's still planning on pushing a new version to TestFlight to do some closed gameplay testing. And Tadas is traveling with his dog, and he's sitting somewhere waiting for his car to charge, and he's reading Pocket Swift articles. Evan hopes to get back into Swift UI views. After the baby, he needed like 2 weeks to get back in the hang of things. So he hopes to get that up and running again, post some views, also working on the game. So he, despite everything, he's really busy. And Artem has released his blog. Artem, make sure to get it listed on iOS Dev Weekly, because then it also will appear in my feed. Moritz is creating an article on deploying static websites created with Publish and Swift on GitLab CI/CD. It's being published on Wednesday, and it took him especially some time to get around some GitLab specifics. But in the end, it works nicely and it's all very convenient. Rafael is waiting on his XDR display, so he's pretty happy about that. And Robin's weekend has been all about focus state. He doesn't know why it is working in VStack and not in form or list. Donnie thinks it might be a bug. Eritikus is continuing to power on with 100 days of Swift UI, learning about core data basics at the moment. And Hassan is working on code snapshot. And Chris is wishing everybody a happy Monday, and he's planning to finish the import from CSV this week. Simran is putting the final touches on his iOS MVVM series. He's planning on dropping it on Wednesday. And Isik Mazelman is planning on shipping his very first app on the App Store. So good luck to you, and best wishes with your product. And SF Askari is learning to build a backend in Swift. So a lot of people are building new things and actually releasing products. And it's just so great to see that everybody is keeping busy and is very happy and excited on all the new stuff that is coming our way and all the great stuff that you can actually already create with iOS 14. Meanwhile, work continues on my backlog of interviews. I now have 3 interviews backlogged at the moment that are completely ready for release and ready to go. This evening, I'm actually also doing another recording session with somebody. And I still have 2 recordings that I need to process and edit and get approval on from the participants. So once that's done, I got enough interviews for the next 6 weeks. And I already have my first interview scheduled in August as well. So keeping busy, and I look forward to talking to you again on Thursday. That's when my next interview drops with Anna Tsarkova. And also make sure to sign up for my newsletter, appforce1.net/news. Because then you will get all the links from this episode in your email as well, in an easy and convenient format. Sign up for my newsletter on appforce1.net/news. Wednesday, I will send you a message with all the links from this week's episode so that you have a friendly reminder to have a look at these articles. And with that, talk to you again soon. And if you have any feedback, please send me a message on Twitter. I really like hearing what you think of my podcast. And if you have any suggestions, do let me know, because I'm always looking for new ideas and things I can do to improve my workflow, my content, and everything in general. And with that, thanks for your time, and talk to you soon. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI, and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.